You know, the more I think about it, the fact that you peacocked her toothbrush in front of her, like, yeah, this is happening. It's kind of a power bad guy move right there.
Well, yesterday we talked about two things. First, the toothbrush, and you said that if I had to get traded to another franchise and start having to do theirs, I said I'll just file for unemployment and then look at her dead in the eyes and say, you got to pick it up a notch. You got to pick it up here, okay?
Going to need more out of you.
You know, bills don't pay themselves, and what's your Amazon login?
You what's your PIN? I just got to go run a few errands and babe, I'm a little light on cash. I misplaced my
card. Can you deposit some money into my account? What? Yeah, that wouldn't go well.
Oh man! All right, we're gonna get to some of the 30 for 30 suggestions in a second. We'll talk about the Clippers. Are they ready for their moment? Because this feels more like their moment than any of the other moments that have felt like their moment. But quickly,
I'm gonna have you also. Put out a tweet, do Clippers finish the series, and I'll kind of keep you posted what some people are thinking out there if they could finish this thing off.
Okay, so before we do that, I mentioned it at the top of the show. I just want to mention it again very quickly. Yesterday, I was really my timing was terrible, and I was very clumsy about putting two things together that made it sound like I was rooting for Kawhi Leonard getting hurt. I was not. I want to make it very clear. I'm not happy Kawhi Leonard got hurt. I'm not crazy, right? I've been doing this for 25 years. I was an athlete myself. I know that injuries to athletes are terrible. And for the fans that root for those teams, they're terrible. What I was blown away by is the timing of it all, that the Clippers got the worst news possible at the worst possible time. And it felt to me like that was the universe saying, look, this is not meant to be. The Clippers don't get good things. And this is and it was just a very clumsy way of attempting to make fun of the Clippers' bad luck. It's not making fun of Kawhi Leonard's injury. It's my fault that it got misinterpreted. I'm not blaming anybody else. It's my fault. I put it together poorly, and I take full responsibility. I just want to make it clear, I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt. I would hope that those of you that listen to this show understand that that's not how I roll. I will never roll like that, but I do take responsibility for putting those two things together and making it sound like that's what I was getting to. And if that's what you took away from it, that's not what I want you to take away from it, because that's not what I meant.
Trav, we got a chance last night to watch, I think, probably one of the more surprising games. By the way, both games. You had Philadelphia 76ers and the Atlanta Hawks. I had that game on in the background, and I'm doing some errands, doing whatever I'm doing. And I'm just looking up at the score. I'm like, all right, it's 18. All right, it's 14. Okay, down to 11. Lou Williams, Danilo Gallinari. By the way, Lou Williams, one of the guys that nobody talks about anymore, gets traded to the Hawks.
Dude.
And
when
and
that guy gets going, look out.
Well, and you're seeing this Philadelphia 76ers team just start to collapse and fold. And as much as we give Giannis Antetokounmpo grief, and we give the Milwaukee Bucks grief, Philly, you're going to start hearing more of those conversations. But you know what I kind of took out of that game? And we'll talk about the Clippers in just a second. We got some freaking young stars in this league.
Leagues
we got some. We got – I mean, you and I can't have a conversation. If we say take one player in the league right now for 1 year next year, we're not getting very far before Luka's name comes out. He's 22 years old. Trey Young
– Is he not already? I mean, let's just cut.
By the way,
is he not already?
You make your case. You can make that case. Trey Young yesterday, how come Trey Young at his age is he walking into road places on the road against teams, hostile environments,
good teams.
New York, Philly, some of the best sports crowds that you're going to get, sports cities that you're going to get. Why is he walking in so comfortable and just cold-blooded taking out some of these teams? They're up 3-2. That was the first game before Clippers-Utah.
Here's how good Trae Young is. The Hawks let Luka Doncic go, and I don't even think they care. That's how good Trae Young is. They had their hands on Luka for half a second, made the swap to get Trae Young. They traded those two pieces, and you know what? I bet you they're thinking, you know what? We're good. I'm fine. You keep Luka. We'll keep Trey.
Which is insane. Which
it's
is insane.
Yep. But I'm right, right? I mean, doesn't that – I bet you, if you think they could undo it, do they undo it? I don't think they do. He's the perfect guy in the perfect spot.
I think they undo it, but I don't think – you know, it's not one of those where you're sitting back and you're the Sacramento Kings saying, we took Marvin Bagley before we took Luka Doncic.
Right.
Like that's
different.
that will never go away. That will always be there. But if you're the, you know, maybe this is a bad example, but remember when it was Hakeem, Sam Bowie, and Michael Jordan? I'm not saying that these players are those, but I'm just saying that the Rockets don't wake up every morning saying, they're not waking up the way the Portland Trailblazers organization's waking up saying, we didn't take freaking Michael. At least Houston got two championships.
In this, in that scenario, Trae Young is Hakeem, right? That everybody makes fun of Bowie, but nobody ever says that they blew it by taking Hakeem because they did. It's like, it's all they took
players
of
all time. Right.
Right. He's absolutely. All right. So we were talking a little bit today, June 17th, 1994, was just the most bizarre day in sports. The O.J. Chase, the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Celebration Parade, World Cup, Arnold Palmer final day in a U.S. Open, all those things happening. And it was a great 30 for 30. We kind of threw it out there, Slee. Some of the other good 30 for 30 ideas that people had. I don't know if we're coming up with a better one than Eric Steven had, which is 30 for 30 on the Rob Manfred Astros scandal. That's just. Perfect.
Can't beat it. No, you can't beat it. By the way, that today still angers so many people, and it's not just people in the LA market. It's not just people in the New York market. It's just sports fans saying, what are you talking about? What do you mean you let a squad get away with doing this and that? And there's that part of it, just the passion part of it. By the way, there's also an incredible intrigue. How'd they do it? How'd they get it done?
That's it. That's it to me. Look, people are always going to be upset about it. There was a video that went around the other day. Some kid, he looked 14, 15, something like that. And he's like, hey, can I have your autograph? And the Alex Bregman comes over to the fence to sign an autograph. And he goes, no, not you. Go bang on a trash can, you cheater. And it was just ruthless. Ruthless. And rude. But and I'm thinking, dude, that's the first time for even a fraction of a millisecond. I'm like, yeah, that dude's going to have to carry that for the rest of his life.
Wasn't worth it. That's the bottom line. It wasn't worth it. You know, there's certain things, if you're the Astros, and if you think that, and there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, and a documentary on this probably can't come out for 10, 15 years.
Because you got to talk about it.
You got to give it time for players to accept the fact that, okay, we did cheat. We're ready to admit that we cheated. They can't be in the middle of the game and, you know, Altuve is spending some time on 60 Minutes and saying, yeah, we did it. You know, that's not going to happen. But I say this because there is an incredible amount of intrigue. You know, did they do a documentary on what's the ref? Why am I forgetting the referee's name?
Tim Donaghy?
Donaghy. Did they do a documentary on him?
If they did, I missed it. I don't remember it.
There's a fascination.
Oh, sure.
In stuff like that, right?
Oh,
like
sure.
A bank robber. How'd you do
criminality.
It? How'd you do it? How'd you get away with it? You know, there's this kind of this fascination towards that. And I know, you know, this one bothers a lot of LA to have this type of conversation, but I think it would be a very intriguing documentary.
And the longer you wait, the better it gets. Like, what was it like living with it for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years? I think that would be fascinating. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So, with regards to the Clippers, they're right there again, Slee. They've been there before. They had three shots at it last year. They couldn't punch their ticket.
Yep.
They've got two more shots at it right now. We've seen them before have three-run leads against the Rockets a while ago with the Lob City version of the Clippers. Are they good enough to do it? Because we saw it last night. They're clearly good enough to do it. They beat Utah in Utah without their best player. So they can do it. Are they emotionally ready to take on the burden of flushing 50 years of terrible history down the toilet? Are they ready for that? That's different than can you make some shots?
I'm going to read off a tweet here, all right? I put out, do Clippers finish the series? Just a simple yes or no. Okay? What percentage you think says yes? Do Clippers finish the series?
I'll say 65%.
41% say yes. 59% say no. Now, listen, it's no secret here. Obviously, a lot of the people who follow me are Laker fans.
Sure.
Getting Lakers content and everything else. So, let's say I don't know if somebody else can put it out. Maybe it's a 50% split, whatever the case is. I don't think you're going to like what I'm about to say, but I don't hold it against the Clippers if they don't close out the series. Kawhi Leonard's not there. Let's be realistic here. Kawhi Leonard, if Kawhi Leonard's not there, okay? So let me say that because we still don't know if he's, you know, going to be out for Game 6 or Game 7. I get it. They're going back home. One of the things that's played against the Clippers in their when we go back and we say they had their opportunities, they didn't make it happen with Chris Paul, with Blake Griffin, with DeAndre Jordan. They didn't make it happen with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard last year. They're up 3-1 to Denver. Expectations are different. I don't know about you, but if Kawhi Leonard can't go in Game 6 and Game 7, my expectation is different for the Clippers than it would have been 2 weeks ago. I keep grabbing a microphone since the playoffs starting, and I'm saying, why am I going to give them credit? They needed 7 games against Dallas. That shouldn't have been a 7-game series. And then the Utah Jazz series start. I say, okay, those first 2 games, they started 0-2. Mike Conley is a big piece for the Utah Jazz. They can't lose the first 2 games against the Jazz, even though they're in Utah because Mike Conley's there. This is completely different. I was not expecting for them to win yesterday, and I'm not going to sit here and be shocked at all, nor am I going to hold it against them if they can't win one of these next 2 with Kawhi Leonard not playing.
I could not agree less.
Tell me why.
I'll tell you why coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. And
so I have a question, Slee, before we get back to the Paul George thing.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What do you got?
What else is in your closet that you don't know about? Like, what else is in there with all your cards and all your other things? Like, is there some portion of Casa de Slee that there's a whole bunch of stuff that you haven't gone through in a while?
So a lot of the stuff, I'm very light. So as in, I don't keep many stuff.
You throw stuff out?
Very simple.
I can't wait to introduce you to my wife. This is exciting.
She keeps everything, or she gets
hoarder?
Rid of everything?
It's not quite hoarder. We're not going to be on the show, but we're hoarder adjacent. Can you be that? Because have I not told the story about the sombreros on this show?
You did. You said she got 20-plus sombreros that are
– But, that, you know
but, that, one,
giant...
but that one I understand.
Why? Please explain it to me.
I have no idea. There's
those
there's
giant,
no explanation
like,
that.
Huge Tupperware-sized things. They're like 3 cubic feet of space, right? Maybe more. Mm-hmm. I have 2 of those in my garage filled with sombreros. Okay, it's like 24 sombreros. Do you know how many sombreros we need as a Rogers family?
Zero. Let me ask you this. First of all, you guys are from Guadalajara, right? You guys were born and raised out there. That's number
close
1.
Enough.
Number 2, actually there's zero explanation. I can't help you on this one. Zero explanation why she has those. I don't have much in the closet.
We have 5 bikes. Ask me how many people in this house ride a bike on a regular basis.
Bike stolen 6 months ago. It still hurts.
You want one? I got plenty. I've got 5 bikes in my garage, and only 1 person rides a bike.
Explain this to me. Bike is gone, but I still have the helmet. Why do I still have the helmet?
Because I'm going to give you a bike. I'm glad you kept the helmet. You want a blue one, a green one, or a silver one? Because I have all 3.
The helmet, you probably have the bike that got stolen.
Travis, do you have like boxes in your garage that you just don't know what's in them?
Of course.
Is everything labeled? Like, is it organized?
Yes and no. Everything's labeled, and what the label says is not what's in the box. So that's how that goes. I'm a little curiously that you're not telling me what else is in your closet, which leads me my imagination starts to wander. What else is going on in there?
There's really nothing in there. I'm trying to think here. Okay, so
just empty? Can I put some of my stuff in there?
No, because I got my place here where I have just random stuff over the years. I'm trying to think here. What's in there? And then I got my closet at my parents' house, which still has, like, you know, the old yearbooks, and it has the baseball cards. I think Pogs. Remember Pogs Funches?
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
I'm a Pog guy, but didn't you get them, like, off a juice thing?
No, Pogs?
No, you can buy them, like, at a card store
like
or something.
They were, like, the little circle thing, right?
Little circles. Yeah. You have a slammer and
slammer.
I was hustling people back in the day.
After you drink a creeper, you use a slammer. That's how that goes. That's all right. So let's go back to Paul George here for a second. You were saying you're not going to hold Paul George or the Clippers. You know, you're not going to hold their feet to the fire if they don't close this out. I couldn't disagree more, Slee, and here's why. They have to close the show here. They have to. Mike Conley is not playing. Donovan Mitchell is busted up. They're coming back to L.A. they're playing really, really well. Because here it is. The cold, hard truth of this is they've played five games. The Clippers have won three. They should have won four. They should have won game one. They should have won the first game. This thing should be over already. I get it. They got a terrible break with Kawhi. Okay, a terrible break with Kawhi.
But, so why is it different then? Let me ask you this.
Because it's right there in front of them. They're not playing.
Yeah, but explain me this, because we have the Lakers. Let's use the Lakers as an example. Once the Lakers lost Anthony Davis, who, by the way, Chris Paul was a fraction of what Chris Paul is today in the playoffs, or at least in that series against the Denver Nuggets. And all of a sudden, all we started talking about was, well, if the Lakers lose, it's because Anthony Davis isn't there. So why would that be any different than if the Clippers lost to the Utah Jazz without Kawhi Leonard? Why would that be any different?
Because the Lakers have skins. The Lakers have accomplishments. The Lakers don't have a history
of doing this. You can't do that.
Why?
We can't go back.
They just did it last year, Slee.
Let me explain why. If we want to go back, and what made us put the Clippers in this ball of, well, you know, you can't get to the Western Conference Finals. Every time you have expectations, you can't surpass them. That was when the Clippers were expected to do something, okay? Mm-hmm. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy, I've said this 50 times already in the playoffs. When people say, well, you're too critical on the Clippers, no. My expectations for the Clippers are too high. I put my expectations high that they should get past the Dallas Mavericks. They should get past the Utah Jazz, and part of that to do with Mike Conley. If this team, if the Jazz were 100% healthy and the Clippers were 100% healthy, I'd give Utah a slight edge because of home court. Okay, that's if they were healthy. But you take Kawhi Leonard off the Clippers, Trav, the expectations have to change. I get that they won yesterday. I understand that. But I'm just telling you that whatever my thoughts were coming into the series completely changed if Kawhi can't go in 6-7.
The win yesterday changed everything. They showed not only did they win, but they won pretty comfortably. There was a couple of runs where Utah made at them in the second half. I'm not saying it was easy. It's never easy. But the Clippers last night, they were the better team. They didn't get lucky.
No, that wasn't luck.
They didn't throw in a random shot that went, holy smoke, we won. Wow, okay, we stole one. They're better. They were better last night. And here's the thing. You better get it done in game six, because the last thing you want is to have to go through, here it comes again. I don't know about you.
Game seven is – that's if you go game seven back in Utah, can Clippers win it? They can, but – that's going to be probably the toughest freaking environment in the NBA to go grab a game seven.
The more you don't get it done, the more difficult it gets, the harder it gets. You don't hit the reset button every time. I know there's a line in baseball, right? There's a line in baseball that momentum is as good as your next day's starting pitcher. Okay, that we can go score 15 runs on a Tuesday, and then Wednesday, if my starting pitcher goes out there and lays an egg, I don't have any momentum. Mm-hmm. That's not basketball. There is momentum. There is trends. There is ebb and flow in these games. The Clippers are rolling right now. As bad of a break as it was for the Clippers, as unlucky as they were to have Kawhi go down, they responded like they almost never have before yesterday. They responded.
They've won three in a row.
Not only did they win, it was how they won. It looked like they kind of find
ball movement, defense, sure.
Not only that. That's not what I was getting at. Here, because what I want to say I can't say because it's a four-letter word that you can't say on the radio. They basically just went, forget it. Forget it. Let's just go out there and play. There was no burden. There was no – because they were expected to lose, right? They were expected – we don't have our best guy. Paul George hasn't really thrived in these situations, and they basically collectively as a group went, forget it.
What do we got to lose? Nothing to lose. We're not expected to win this game, and they won. And can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Barkley said something yesterday on TNT where he said, kind of similar to what you were just saying, there was nothing to lose, all that stuff, expectations were there, all that. Okay, game six. What's your expectation for game six for the Clippers?
Not only should they win the game, I think they should win the game similar to the way that they won it last night, which is, look, the beginning of an NBA game very rarely gets lopsided. It's a little runs here and there, but usually by half, if you've got a 6 or 7 point lead, that's kind of how the NBA goes, right? I think they're better. There was no point in that game where you're thinking, you know what, the Clippers are getting lucky here. They weren't. They just were better. And once you crack the code, you ever do the Rubik's Cube?
Yeah.
Okay, did you ever solve it?
No.
Me neither. Okay, yeah. And yeah, every time happening. That you would do it, you'd be more and more frustrated. I can't get it. I can't get it. I can't get it.
Yeah.
But the guys, that once they get it, they're like, oh, it's this, then this, and oh, when this piece is there, you just turn it, boom, and they can do it in 8 seconds.
Okay,
it feels like they solved the cube last night.
So here's the question. They did what nobody was expecting them to do yesterday, and this has been the – if you want to go back to Clippers history, now we could go back to Clippers history. Clippers history would say, tomorrow you're expected to win. Tomorrow you're expected to close out the series. Tomorrow you're expected to walk away and get to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in your franchise history. That's what tomorrow is for the Clippers, and now the expectation will be there. So the question then comes down to, will they come through in that moment that the franchise has never come through on? So if we thought last game was the most important win in Clippers history, then what does tomorrow become, right? Because they've been in this situation before.
How can winning a Game 5 be the most important game in your franchise history? Didn't that sound just weird to say it out loud? Didn't close out a series. Didn't lose a series. It's just the next game in the series. It gives them a nice advantage. But if the Clippers win in Game 6, that's the biggest game in history.
I know what you're saying, Trav, but that's kind of the reality of the franchise, right? Because, you know, I could sit here and say, actually, no, they had bigger games, but they lost those games. So there were bigger moments, but it didn't happen with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin. It didn't happen last season with Kawhi and Paul George. So that's why it's the biggest win, because nobody expected it to happen. They're going to be at the Hollywood Bowl coming up in a week.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I already got my tickets. I got the, you know, those little box seats that they
have. I was just going to say, you got the box seats with the table where you can do the little condo.
I travel where they go.
you're like a deadhead for these guys. You just, wherever they are, that's where Slee is.
Can I read off a quick tweet here?
Please.
Dave in San Clemente. Slee, do you bring up Laker analogies in the heat of the moment with your girlfriend?
Let me tell you about Byron Scott back in the 80s. I hope not.
Not doing it. Well, why aren't we doing it? Nick Van Exel, okay? 1994 was in a similar position. All right, that's all I got.
Funch, what was the number you just gave me a second ago? 93 million people?
Over 95 million people watched the OJ chase, which makes it like one of the biggest viewed things ever.
Wow. Think about it this way. Was there anybody, when you went to work the next day, I forget if it was a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or whatever, but if the next time you were in the quote-unquote water cooler scenario,
yeah,
was there anybody go, huh? What? I missed it. I mean, is there anybody that wasn't fully aware of that situation?
I'll tell you, I was 10 at the time, and I was running an insurance company. And when I walked into work that next day, oh, man, that was the conversation. I couldn't get out of that conversation.
I understand.
By the way, even if you were 10, it didn't matter. Like, literally every single person you could think of, age didn't matter. That's what you were talking about.
No, it was literally everywhere. It was the only thing on TV for about a week. All right, let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Hollywood this time. And Zach, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. Actually, it's funny. I actually went to Brentwood School during the OJ trial, so I was there.
Go on. The entire time. Go on.
I used to go to his house, and my friend lived next door. I mean, I don't want to say I saw him once with the mafioso character standing outside, and we kind of said, oh, hey, OJ. But, yeah, it was a wild time for sure. But I was actually calling about your questions earlier about the Airbnb where I'd want to stay.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Miyagi's house. Not the Cobra Kai one that shot Atlanta. I'm talking about the OG 80s Valley from the original Karate Kid with the pond. That would be incredible. Maybe the Poltergeist house, too, depending. And then for the sports memorabilia question.
Just wait, real quick. You went from Mr. Miyagi's dojo right? Yeah. To the poltergeist house. Okay, that's quite the mix there. What else you have? What else you have?
Cali.
They are both in California. That's true.
I would also say, for sports memorabilia, being a diehard Lakers fan, I think Western Conference Finals, I believe it was Game 5, Robert Horry's three-pointer against Sacramento. I would love to own that basketball. And then just a curiosity factor, the 2000, whatever it was, 14 AFC Championship game. I'm just curious about that Deflategate ball. How deflated was that ball? I mean, again, no, not knocking Brady or anything.
It was an actual Nerf ball. It wasn't even a regulation NFL football. They had gone to Big Five, and they purchased a Nerf ball, and that's what was used in the second half of the game.
It was the ones that have – it's almost like the shape of an arrow. You remember those?
It's got
Nerfs?
The tail.
It's got the tail. That's what they used. That's what they used.
Thanks for the call, Zach. Here's a question, and somebody help me out with this that is a Valley person. I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, not the San Fernando Valley, where the Miyagi Dojo was. Are there homes in the area, the San Fernando Valley, Reseda specifically, where Daniel-san was hanging out, that are right next to the train tracks, that have a front yard full of old vintage cars that just need to be polished, and the backyard is this unbelievably expansive, beautiful little stream running through it? Are there homes like that out there that you can afford on a janitor's salary? Because that's what Miyagi was doing. I need to know where those houses are, because I'd like one, please.
Here's a bigger question. Do you know of a better actor from what Daniel LaRusso has accomplished from back in the 80s to what he's doing now on Cobra Kai? Do you know? I know we're here in Los Angeles. I think everybody – this is an easy one, right? That he's on the probably the top three of all-time actors. It just doesn't get better than Daniel LaRusso.
Well, I just want to answer the question that you asked me. Do I know of a better actor than Daniel LaRusso in the Cobra Kai? And the answer is yes, anyone that's ever been in anything. That's the answer to the question.
He was bad in Cobra Kai. There's scenes in Cobra Kai where I'm like, how does this get – who walks away and says, yep, that's it, Daniel.
Print that.
Yep, we got
Cut,
it.
Cut, print, we're done, move on to the next scene.
Let's keep it going.
I love the show. Don't get me wrong. I've watched all of them. Okay, can't wait for season four to come
out.
Don't
say you love the show. Nobody loves the show.
I love the show. I just said I do because it's true. I love the show because Johnny Lawrence is great.
Johnny Lawrence is great.
Johnny Lawrence not only is a great character, Billy Zabka, who plays Johnny Lawrence, is a good actor. He sells it. It makes it happen.
Yeah, but the show
not
is so,
just
it's so cheesy.
Retro.
The whole thing is so cheesy. I mean, if you're 16 years old and you're just buying your yearbook right now for everybody to sign, maybe you like it. But, Travis, you can't at your age say that you love that show.
Trust me, the vast majority of the people that love that show are my age, because that was the movie when we were 15 and 16 that was out. That's why we liked the show. And I don't know where you went to high school,
Slee. You still haven't seen Godfather.
Where I went to high school, every single passing period was just lousy with karate fights in the hallways. Every time you would go from chemistry to English, you had to karate fight your way from one class to the other, just like Daniel LaRusso's high school.
That's what I don't know what you're talking about.
That's
when I sold my insurance company in high school. Got it to grow, sold it to Progressive.
All right, let's try another one here. Let's go to Roderick. Roderick, you're up next with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just wanted to talk about the 30 for 30. Now, you guys already talked about the Astros cheating scandal, but I wanted to make a suggestion. Mm-hmm. I think Momo should do the actual 30 for 30 because she killed it with the whole Clippers thing. And also, another 30 for 30 is, it probably never get done, but I think they should do one on that first year LeBron came to the Lakers, just with the Magic quitting and all the trade rumors. I think that'd be a good one.
Good suggestions. Yeah. By the way, Jeff, can I tell you, I don't – whatever suggestion anybody comes up with, who was it that Steven something on Twitter, nobody's beating the Astros cheating scandal.
No.
That is such a fantastic idea. But I think you and I both agree you got to wait like 10 years for it.
Well, it just gets better because they have to wear it for so long. And look, it's going to happen, right? We've both been around this long enough. You've been covering sports since the 30s, I think, is when you broke into the game, that – we know how this plays out, right? Eventually, one of these guys is going to get an attack of conscience, and he's going to come out and say, here's what's going. And once they get one guy, and I'm just making this up. Let me be clear.
Yep.
That I'm just making this up. That if, let's just say, Alex Bregman in the year 2031 decides, you know what, I need to get this off my chest.
This is eating
me up from the inside out. I need to. And then he calls Carlos Correa and says, dude, we got to do this. And then Altuve gets in on it and all of those things. But it just becomes that thing where, because they're the only ones that can tell the story. You can get Mike Fiers. You can get Clayton Kershaw saying he got ripped off. You can get Dave Roberts saying, yeah, they cheated me. Aroldis Chapman saying he had a buzzer on. That's one thing.
You need the actual person that committed the crime. By the way, I got a perfect person that you can watch Cobra Kai with.
Yeah, who you got?
Greg Bergman sends me a text. I love that show. That's it. That's all I get from Greg, okay? I haven't had a text from Greg since May 4th. The next text from Greg is, I love that show. So there are certain people who are very passionate about Cobra Kai. You and Greg, you guys should maybe get together once season 4 comes
along. And we'll go over to Mason's to watch it, because Mason just hit me with one saying that he loves the show. So there you go. So yeah, Mason is in, Greg is in, I'm in. You're starting to fall into the very narrow majority of people that aren't down with Cobra Kai.
Well, this is the sad part. I watched the show, so it's not that I didn't watch it. And every time an episode ended, I'm like, Al, come on. You're not really going to watch next. And the countdown starts, right? It's coming. It's coming. The next episode's coming. I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's watch it again.
Hit it again. Well, here's the best part. Because it's a streaming show, it's not on, you know, regular TV.
Right.
You can fast forward through every scene that doesn't have Johnny Lawrence or Allie with an eye. Right? Mm-hmm. Those are the only scenes that you, if it's about
you're
Daniel,
not fast, I could see
skip
you're not,
right through.
You're
it.
Not fast forwarding. No, you're not. You're watching every one of these episodes.
No, I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to help you out. Of course, I'm watching it. Because what if you just missed Allie with an eye? You can't just power through that. You got to make sure that you get all the Elizabeth Shue scenes in. But all Johnny Lawrence scenes are must-see. If you have Daniel trying to channel Miyagi to his daughter, then you can skip that. Because I'm sorry, Daniel-san, you're no Miyagi. Miyagi had game. You're
when
just repeating lines.
When's the next one come out?
I don't know. I'm not going to. Soon, hopefully. Tomorrow? Tonight? can we get there fast enough?
By the way, LA Live was blitzed with Cobra Kai banners.
Yeah,
promoting the show. Okay, we got an audience for it. Let's put it that way.
Look, you can put down the YouTube. You can stop going through Sadell Threet's stats for a night or two, and you can get in.
Unbelievable.
To why Johnny Lawrence's sensei is the most evil guy on TV. And by the way, we're getting Terry Silver back. Just throwing that out there.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, let me go back to this. I have seen every episode. So as much as I'm talking trash, I did watch all of them. So it's not like – it's one thing for me to say, oh, I hate it, but I'm going back to the same restaurant I'm eating again.
All right, here, I'm going to pay off the tease really quickly, Slee. You ready?
Yeah.
Ohtani should win the MVP over Guerrero. There, we're done. We'll do some more on that a little bit later on. But we've got far more important things to get to, talking about you not liking Cobra Kai. We're getting a whole bunch of responses here on Twitter.
Slow down here for a quick second.
What?
All right, first of all, by the way, I've watched every Cobra Kai episode.
Yeah, you
just
said you don't like it.
It's just cheesy. And when season 4 comes out, I'm running my mouth. I'll probably watch the entire thing as well. But that doesn't mean that it's not cheesy. It's
incredibly
cheesy.
This is from Hovick. Okay, old man Slee. Cobra Kai is a great show, and I'm 44. This is from David Rodriguez. To be real, I'm an ex-gang member, and I love Cobra Kai, okay? This is from Jazz. It says, Cobra Kai is a karate soap opera, cheesy, but everyone loves the cheese. See? There's a whole list of these. Trav, tell Sliwa to pull the stick out. Cobra Kai's nostalgic on so many levels and very well made. Get on board.
Listen, Karate Kid's my era, okay? So nobody's here is not watching Karate Kid back in the days. All right, I'm the only one sticking up for Daniel LaRusso as being arguably the greatest actor of our time, okay? Yeah. I don't even know his real name. I just know Daniel LaRusso. That's it. There's certain people. He doesn't even need his last name. Just when I say Daniel, you should know who I'm talking about.
let's try some phone calls.
A little cheesy.
Go to Chino and Gilbert. Gil, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
All right.
Good, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Sliwa, I can't believe you're not a fan of Cobra Kai. Like, haven't you heard of the quote from Terry Crews from Longest Yard? It ain't easy being cheesy.
That's a
good
quote.
Come on, now.
That's a very good quote. Cobra
Kai is a great show. Yes, obviously it is cheesy. I binge watch it with my girlfriend. I've been a fan since it was on YouTube Red. It's a show where my father and I reconnect. It does bring nostalgia because he is the guy that did show me Karate Kid back in the day when I was a little kid. I just don't understand why you're not a fan.
Yes, you know? Lee.
It makes me want to go back to high school. I almost feel like I should be a narc after I'm done. Remember those narcs that used to go around high school and you're like, yeah, just, you know, I'm running things here at age 31.
that's the goal. You're talking like a 21 Jump Street situation where you go back as like an undercover cop.
There you go. I almost want to reach out to like old friends and be like, hey, just looking through the yearbook. I don't know if you ever signed it. And I just think maybe we get together and, you know, I still have it here.
Perfect. Let's try another one. Studio City is our next stop. And Noah, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Gentlemen, what a show. What a jam-packed epic of a show this has been. I got two takes real quick. A basketball take and then a Cobra Kai. Basketball, what we're seeing clearly right now is a demonstration of how all these guys in the NBA can get it done on any given night. And it's so obvious that that thing inside, that mental fortitude, that unflappable desire to win and for excellence, that thing that Kobe had, that Magic had, that Jordan had, that LeBron has, it's such a rare thing. And there's a lot of great players, but that other thing is different. And when we see it, it's why we revere those guys. Because right now you're like, oh, Milwaukee, they got it. They're going to do it. Oh, nope. Oh, Philadelphia, they're going to get over. Oh, nope. The Nets, they got it. Oh, Donovan Mitchell. But every other game, it's like, whoa, wait, no, who's the guy? Because none of these particular guys are there yet. They're learning. It's like watching these guys try to get to that place. And the truth is, none of them are quite there. And that's why it's just kind of a free-for-all. And you're seeing, like, is any of these, you know, stars going to emerge as that guy? And that's the one other thing I'll say, if I can. Cobra Kai is the worst show ever that I can't stop watching.
That's the way to put it, Noah. I could not have come up with a better way of describing the show.
Perfect. Thank you, Noah. Look, I'm more interested in the Cobra Kai stuff, and we'll get back to that in a second. But he's right that he mentioned a bunch of those guys, Kobe and LeBron and Magic and those guys. Tiger Woods is in that group. There aren't many of them. And I think the best way of saying it, Slee, what you're looking at right now in the NBA playoffs, mm-hmm. what you're looking at right now, the U.S. Open's taking place right now. There's nobody out there that falls into the category I'm about to describe. There's nobody out there in the baseball category that I'm about that. The unexpected is always expected. The only thing that's surprising is when it doesn't go their way. The only time Tiger Woods really blew you away is when it didn't happen because it never didn't go in. The only that Magic and Michael and – I mean, I know they missed shots. I know they lost games, but they would always come through or damn near come through every time. With this group, we just don't know. It's kind of scattershot.
Who's the only player left? So Kevin Durant is the only player left that you would say, because I'm trying to think here. Okay, the best player left in the playoffs is Kevin Durant. Okay. Mm-hmm. What other player? LeBron is out. I'm just thinking of guys who have won championships, have won
Kawhi's
MVPs.
Out.
Steph is not in it. Kawhi is out, at least for now. Let's see if something changes. He's the only one left. So that's why you can't kind of sit here. You can't say Embiid, Giannis, Trae Young,
even a guy
Paul
like Kyrie
George.
Irving. who does have a championship, right? And wasn't just along for the ride. Kyrie Irving was an important part of what – I mean, he hit the shot that won the series, right? I know LeBron was everything in that
Kyrie
series.
Kyrie is clutch as it gets, yep.
As clutch as it gets, but we don't look at him like that. KD, you're right. KD is the only one of those guys who's still there, and I'm not sure that this isn't worse, quite honestly. You know what I mean? I like knowing – because when you beat LeBron James, you did something. When you beat Steph Curry, you did something. When you beat Magic or Kobe or Shaq or Larry Bird or one of these guys, Dwayne Wade, when you beat those guys, you did something. And right now, they're all kind of in that same thing where when they lose or miss or don't come through, it's kind of like, yeah,
very
that's
unpredictable.
Kind of what it is.
Very unpredictable. Every
you
time
like
I
it?
Every I like it. I don't prefer it, but I prefer having all these stars playing, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch the games. I mean, I watched, spent however long both of those games were yesterday, I watched both of them. So you can't – but I'm the more NBA fan. I don't know if the casual fan likes it.
The Dump is coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. I want to say it one more time just to make sure that maybe if you didn't hear it, if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, you didn't catch the middle of the show. Yesterday, I said some stuff that got kind of pushed together. I did a bad job of separating two topics, the Clippers' history of bad luck and the universe not shining on them and Kawhi's injury. Clearly, I'm not happy that Kawhi got hurt. I'm not crazy. I love sports. I like seeing the best athletes play in the most important games. I, under no circumstances, was happy to see Kawhi Leonard get hurt. I think most people know that, but clearly it got some momentum of its own. I just wanted to put that out there one more time. That is not at all what I was going for, and it's my fault for not separating the two things. So, go ahead, Slee.
I was just going to say, Trav, this is unfortunately with sports, and we are seeing it way too much in the NBA. It's very simple. We love the competition. We love when the two best teams go up against each other, and, you know, the hope is all these athletes don't have any type of injuries, but unfortunately it's part of the game. No light to make on it.
Of course. All right, so let's start with this. We didn't mention it yesterday because we just got sidetracked with some other stuff. Cristiano Ronaldo sunk the value of Coca-Cola by nearly a market value of over $1 billion, okay?
He went
up to the dais.
$4 billion.
Yeah, right. $4 billion.
You guys know what he did?
He went up to the dais after the game, and there, you know, like you see in every sporting event now, there's sponsorship stuff on the table. And he took the bottles of Coca-Cola and put them aside and said, no, drink water. Okay, just as simple as that. And the shares dropped nearly $2 a share and $4 billion. That's how you know you have juice, Slee.
That's a baller move. It's a baller move. By the way, he wasn't out there promoting another brand, another water or something.
No.
I'm just saying, drink water instead of Coca-Cola. That one I think kind of shook the industry. I'm pretty sure that sponsorship might look a little bit differently as we move forward in the
Ronaldo earns more money from his Instagram account than he does from playing soccer every year. He makes $1 million per post on IG.
That's pretty good.
I lose $36 per post.
Look, here's the thing. I get what Ronaldo's going for, I guess. But and looking at Ronaldo, you probably hasn't had the wonderful experience of having a giant cheeseburger, some very salty fries, and then chasing it all with an ice-cold Coca-Cola. That's a pretty good day right there. I'm not saying it's the healthiest choice in the world. I'm saying it tastes really good. So lighten up, Ronaldo.
I wonder if Ronaldo, like, if he spent the day with you, right? How you guys spend the day together. Like, if you invited Ronaldo over and you just said, hey, Cristiano, sit with me. I'll take care of everything. Don't worry about food, nothing. Just come on down. I think he probably would starve himself.
I don't think we'd have a lot in common. Yeah. I don't think there'd be a lot of things that we both, whether it was soccer or food or soft drinks or anything else, I don't think there's a lot of common.
And Cristiano, grab a couple dogs before we get dinner going.
How many hot dog appetizers do you want? Cheeseburgers will be out in about 45 minutes.
Listen, Applebee's opens at 4. I'm just telling you, I don't want to be late.
All right, here's another one. LaMelo Ball wins Rookie of the Year. That's the right choice, right? There were some other guys that you could maybe make a case for, but I know that LaMelo missed some time along the way, but he seemed to have the biggest impact on the league as a first-year player.
Fun watching him play, too. There are a couple times Michael and I would do the pregame show, and he'd be like, did you see that pass or blah, blah, blah. How many times are you talking about Charlotte, right, outside of a Lakers-Charlotte game? And that's what he – accomplished during the year. A lot of people had their eyes on what Charlotte was doing because of LaMelo Ball. No, I don't think anybody's too worried about him winning that Rookie of the Year.
All right, here's this date in history, June 17th, 2010. The Lakers win their second consecutive NBA title. They beat the Celtics in an epic Game 7. Kobe Bryant named the Finals MVP. That, of course, Kobe Bryant's last Finals victory. That was the last Lakers Finals victory until the bubble last season. That was, oh my goodness, 11 years ago, Slee. Hard to believe.
Can you think of, when you think of a more nerve-wracking game for you and your life and your experience, I have two that come to mind for me. Sacramento Kings Game 7 in Sacramento.
Right.
And Game 7 against the Boston Celtics in L.A. Those two moments, it was like, and I was at the game, the 2010 one, you're pacing. Like, I can't even watch the game. Like, it was so uncomfortable.
Remember,
like,
both teams couldn't even put the ball in the ocean?
Nobody could make a shot.
It's not even a memorable game for me. Somebody was asking me, I put this out on Lakers Talk, your favorite Kobe championship. Mine was their first one together, Kobe and Shaq. That 2010, I know, is a lot of other people's favorite. I'm still nervous about the game. Like, I go back watching it. I'm like, all right, we got to play better defense. I'm still nervous.
That one didn't hit me quite like that, but the ones that did were the generation before. Every time the Lakers would play the Celtics in the finals in the 80s, Magic against Larry, every single one of those games felt like that, Slee. Because and this is what makes this stuff so much fun, right? That other guy on the other team, he's just as bad a man as your guy.
You're right.
Larry Bird was just as bad of a man as Magic Johnson, and I guarantee you Celtic fans felt the same way about Magic. That, you know what, that guy over there, he could ruin all of this by himself.
It was a toss-up in 2010, and luckily Kobe got his fifth on that one.
How do they find the podcast, Slee?
ESPN app or on iTunes, search Travis and Sliwa. You'll get the full two hours every weekday.
Friday edition, Travis and Slee. We'll see you 8:55 tomorrow morning.